intuition speaks to us in so many different beautiful ways. And so it really helps us reconnect back to who we are and helps us learn how to trust ourselves again.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I am your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. You know, in my astrological chart, in my Chinese astrology chart, I have a lot of intellect. I have a very, very strong mind. Part of my journey has been learning how to really balance my intellect and my intuition, because both of them are incredible tools for our human experience. We want both of them to be in our space, and we want them to be working as one, in harmony with each other. And human design can actually help you do that. So today, our guest, Carissa Stepp, is going to help us with this exact situation. Carissa is a relationship and human design coach. She helps women to empower themselves so that they can live their best life. And Carissa actually has a background in finance and on Wall Street, so she knows how to thrive under pressure. And Carissa, I have no doubt that you've had the same thing with balancing your intellect and your intuition, so this is going to be just such an extraordinary conversation. Let's all welcome Carissa to the space with our hearts and our wombs. Carissa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Alara, for having me here. I'm excited to have this conversation with you today.
So tell us, Carissa, for those people who don't know, just a brief kind of overview of what is human design?
Yep. So human design is this beautiful synthesis of five ancient wisdoms and quantum physics. So it blends together Eastern and Western astrology, the Jewish Kabbalah, the Hindu chakra system, and it really just kind of, and the Chinese I Ching. Sorry, forgot that one. It's very important though. And quantum physics. And what it does is it gives you this beautiful blueprint, energetic blueprint of the potential of who you are. So it's not a labeling system. It doesn't tell you who you are because you bring your chart to life. You are a human being that is dynamic in many different ways, right? You are the person who brings the chart to life in its fullest expression. And the chart, similar to astrology, you know, the energetic themes throughout it will have high and low expressions and everything in between. So I love to use human design as almost a roadmap to help clients and even for myself to show me where maybe I'm living out the lower expressions of human design or of the energy archetypes in my chart, and how can I move into those higher expressions? And it does provide me with this beautiful roadmap of how to get there, and I love it. It also is very, very helpful when we study human design. What we come to learn very quickly is that most of us have been operating from our minds, right? To your point, with our intellect for most of our lives. And as a result, we have learned to not trust the communication that our bodies send to us, our intuition sends to us on a daily basis, right? We learn to distrust what our body is saying, right? We tend to dismiss the red flags or ignore and stuff down the emotions that we're feeling. And those are the ways in which the body communicates with us, right? It's through sensations, it's through images, it's through our emotions, it's through smell, it's through, you know, hearing sometimes, right? Our intuition speaks to us in so many different beautiful ways. And so it really helps us reconnect back to who we are and helps us learn how to trust ourselves again. And that's why I love it.
I just learned a lot about human design there. I didn't know that it came from five different ancient wisdoms and all of that beautiful combination. So that was really, yeah, definitely enlightening for me. And one of the things I love about human design and some of these tools is, just as you said, roadmap. I feel that a lot of people are desiring a roadmap for themselves. You know, who am I? What am I really here to do, to experience, to create? And with human design, we get that roadmap that first and foremost speaks to the intellect, right? It gives our intellect something to understand, to comprehend, right? And then, as you're so wonderfully putting, helps us to open up to our intuition. I love how you said not labeling, because from my very strong mental background, one of the first things I found myself doing with these kinds of tools was really like grabbing onto the label, right, of whatever that was. Because when we are in that intellectual state, that's what makes us feel safe, is grabbing a hold of concepts, intellectual concepts, descriptions, labels, right? And this is coming through really strongly as an important aspect of this. And so I'm really glad that you brought it forward, because if we believe that if we understand and if we know, we're safe. However, that isn't our genius, right? Our genius blossoms within the unknown. And as we've been speaking about, the combination, the harmony of what is known and what is understood and what is unknown, and the space of our intuition and that space of that inner guidance, which is more vague and it's not easy to grab and anchor down like you do with the roadmap. So I love how human design starts with the intellect. Here you go. Here's an intellectual roadmap. And now let's deepen you. So can you tell us or give us some examples? How specifically does human design really help you to deepen into your intuition and create more or expand on your self-trust?
So I would say that for any of your viewers or listeners who are listening to this, if you have come across human design at any point, one of the first few things you would have learned is your type, your strategy, and your authority, right? And this is like where the labels kind of come in, as you were kind of talking about. People identify with, oh, I'm a generator, I'm a projector, I'm a whatever. And the thing is that the key thing to really take away from understanding, number one, your type, is just to know how your energy flows. So what human design does is it invites us to start tuning into our energy, right? Which is very different than our intellect. So we give someone this tool of, this is how your energy is meant to work for you to feel like a whole person, to feel fulfilled, to not burn out, right? To know how other people impact your energy, how you're meant to work with them. And so, you know, that's the first key, is like understanding how your energy works and how it flows within your body. Number one, I think, is so important. And once we can start tuning into that, it becomes this, you know, invitation to become way more internally focused as to what's going on and how you're feeling in your body at all moments. So then if we take that and we know what our type always has a strategy that we're following. Now, our strategy is the way in which we are, how do I want to put this? It's going to inform you how you are meant to interact in relation to the universe, okay? So for example, if you are a generator, which 70% of the world are generator types, you are here to respond to the world around you. And a lot of us walk around thinking that we're manifestors who are here to initiate. And that's not it, right? So if you are the type of person who has been living their life initiating in every aspect of their life, in their relationships, at work, and whatever else, you're going to find that most likely you will have had a kind of a mixed bag of how things have turned out for you, because that's not necessarily the way you're meant to make really big decisions for yourself, right? So human design helps us tune into our intuition because our strategy is telling us how we're meant to make those big decisions in addition to our authority, which we're going to talk about. Our authority is kind of how we respond, how the universe kind of talks back to us and how we respond to it, okay? So for example, again, as a generator, I'm going to kind of stick with the generator types here because, again, 70% of the population is going to be a generator type. If you are a generator type, your job is to listen to your sacral, right? That is your gut. So listening to your gut as to whether or not something is a yes or a no is going to inform whether or not it's aligned for you or not. And the thing is like I could sit here and tell someone this all day long. Until you go out and start experimenting and trying this for yourself and seeing the impact that that now has, you know, you're not going to believe me, right? You're not going to automatically start trusting yourself because I've told you your mind, right? The intellect, your mind, your prefrontal cortex needs the evidence that that is the case. And the only way you're going to get that evidence to accept what I am telling you is your authority for how you're meant to make decisions is if you go out and you try it for yourself. And that's how we create this positive feedback loop and the evidence to our mind to know that we can now trust our gut, so to say.
Wow. I feel like I have so much I want to unpack here with you. First off, Carissa, I just want to honor you. And I mean, you just answered that question so beautifully. I feel like, wow, okay, there's the answer to the question. It was perfect. And just breaking it down in these three parts. And so I want to kind of go into these parts a little bit more. But one of the things I really loved that you said, Carissa, was that our intellect needs evidence. We can all see this in our society, right? This kind of like have to see it to believe it type mentality. And when we are not understanding that why our intellect needs evidence and understanding that with tools like human design, we can learn to follow our intuition and give our intellect that evidence. I mean, that's huge. I hope everybody is making that connection where through something that we're speaking to here today of human design, you can actually start to play in your intuition and then say, see, mind, see, there it is. There's the evidence, which is huge for convincing the subconscious mind and, you know, your brain, which is the one that organizes all of the actions and the functions of the body. This is real. This is real. This is important. This is how we're doing it. Oh, okay. Yes, this is truth. This is truth. I can trust this. Okay. Creating that evidence and validating that process for yourself. Wow. That is really, really huge. So I love how you brought that through, Carissa. I had never thought about that before with human design. So I want to go back to type because I loved how you said the type shows you how your energy flows. Again, I'd never heard that. I'm a manifesting generator. And just to share my experience using human design. So, you know, I know very little about human design. So, Carissa, feel free. Please correct me anywhere that I'm wrong. So I'm not giving any misinformation. My understanding of manifesting generator is, you know, we have a lot of energy. And we tend to sometimes leapfrog through things and then, you know, kind of need to come back around and fill in the pieces that are energy. And for me, it's really like enthusiasm can kind of leapfrog me forward. And then I'm kind of like, oh, wait, I got to go back and, you know, do this one aspect or this second aspect where generators tend to move more forward, but not as leapfroggy as the manifesting generator. So for me, what I learned through that was, okay, first off, that I have a lot of energy. Surprisingly enough, when I learned about this, I was like, really? I have a lot of energy? but I wasn't fully embodied. And through my embodiment, wow, did my energy ever show up? I mean, my capacity, I have yet to find the edge of it. I'm always kind of like, wow, I'm taking on a lot. This is a lot. And it's all flowing. It's all fluid. None of it is pressure. None of it is stress. And yet there's so much capacity there. So I really learned that, for one, my energy really likes to flow. Like it wants to flow. And so how do I let it flow? And how do I embody that flow?
Yeah. I mean, I think no matter what type you are, your energy wants to flow.
True.
But yes, as a manifesting generator, you definitely are going to have a lot of energy that moves fast. And of course, like, I don't know which channel is defined that makes you a manifesting generator, so I can't talk to that specifically. There is one specific manifesting generator channel that is very powerful and definitely moves at a very quick clip. So the thing is that for manifesting generators, they have this nonverbal creative flow. And that is what's going to kind of drive them to do the things that light up their sacral, right? They're a generator type, so they're listening to their sacral and they're following that. And the thing is that a lot of manifesting generators, and I find this with a lot of my clients, is that sometimes their energy gets stuck because they have done a lot of different things in their lives. They've tried and experimented and explored, and maybe not everything has worked out. And as a result, they develop this fear of failure, or this fear of making a mistake, or this fear of, if I commit to something, I have to follow it through. And the manifesting generator is not meant to follow through on every single thing that they begin or that they start. So number one, it's getting comfortable with, how do I, you know, let go of the things that aren't working out, that aren't really for me anymore? And it's also coming to this, you know, forgiveness point and having grace for yourself, right? This compassion for yourself, that it's okay if not everything you do works out. It's part of your process. And so the things that might have quote unquote failed were not really failures, because I guarantee you, most likely, whatever you learned from that experience is going to be relevant to something else that you are meant to be doing. And so, you know, that's part of why sometimes the energy can kind of get clamped up, is people do get stuck in that fear of the failure, the fear of the mistake, the fear of, like, I have to finish everything that I start, because we are very conditioned as a society, I think, to get it right, to be perfect, to follow through, right? And we can have sometimes these labels that are given to us of being flighty or non-committal or, you know, all these things, all these labels. There's all these labels that can be get tossed and put on us. So for a manifesting generator, the way to kind of open up the access to this energy is, once you do find the thing that lights you up and you're following that nonverbal creative flow, is making sure that it's part of your strategy of informing others around you of what you are doing, what you are following, what you're creating next, and then going ahead and doing it, right? And you're doing that because, not that you're informing to get permission, because you're not getting permission. You're just settling the energy field around you so that you can move forward without someone stopping you in the middle of your process and saying, hey, wait a second, what's going on right here? You know, why are you doing that? You were supposed to be doing this, right? It levels the playing field. It doesn't prevent that from happening, because what will happen with the manifesting generator, if they're in their flow and they are lit up and they're doing something that they're really enjoying, when that person comes in and tries to stop them from moving in that direction, their emotional theme of anger is going to show up. Anger and frustration. And so it happens two ways. The manifesting generator might get angry that they're getting disrupted. It might create anger on the other side when people don't understand what you're trying to do, and frustration. So those emotional themes can kind of go in both directions. So I hope that that helps answer your question. I can probably keep talking for another 15 minutes about it, but
To add to what you were saying, as far as my experience as a manifesting generator, another way that my energy gets blocked is by not following those that creative desire and allowing boredom. That was a huge realization to me. The minute I feel bored means that I am not really honoring something that's desiring to be created. And that boredom is that blocked creative energy. And I'm not talking about boredom in the context of needing to do all the time. That's not what I mean, because I can sit and be for very long periods of time. I love presence. I love beingness. I mean in the creative context of creating and exploring creative energy through my being. Because just as you said, we can have multiple things going at once and not all of them will follow through. My mother one time called me flippant, you know, and I was like, flippant? Because I do, I go through things really, really fast and like, okay, I'm going to go through this and do it and I'm done with that and on to the next. But I never felt that it was flippant. And after she said that, ironically enough, I went through a period of boredom. And I think that comment really like, oh, wait, am I being too all over the place? But my boredom woke me up because, wow, it was in my business and it was drawn to my awareness that I was bored. And as soon as I shifted out of that, oh my gosh, I had a bunch of clients. I had a bunch of inflow. I was lit up again. It was pretty an incredible lesson to go through. So I would add the failure. Absolutely. I have personally experienced that a lot, as well as the boredom. And I loved what you mentioned about informing and settling. I hadn't understood why we're supposed to inform. And I started doing this when I read about it from Human Design. And I have lots of soundboards in my life, people in my life that are really close to me, and we soundboard off of each other. And for me, it's huge. When I inform in that way, I get massive downloads, epiphanies, huge hits. But now I have an even better understanding of it, like settling, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what's happening. A settling of the energy, kind of it feels like, so then that flow can come through that settled space really beautifully and fluidly, right? That's what I feel through your words. So I really received that. Thank you. And when we were talking about strategy, you said for manifestors, and I believe it's very similar for manifesting generators, that we are meant to respond. Can you go into that a little bit? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. Just to clarify, manifestors are not meant to respond. They're meant to initiate. But manifesting generators.
Oh, generators. I meant generators. I keep saying manifesting.
Yep.
Yes.
That's fine. Thank you. Are meant to respond. And so when we talk about responding, we're talking about responding to the universe. We're responding to the world around us. So what that means is, you know, you might be getting inspiration and downloads and everything like that. And that's all good. And that is something, you know, there's a lot of debate, I think, about whether or not that is, you know, quote unquote, the thing you're meant to respond to, or if you actually need some sort of external physical validation of that, meaning, you know, you have this idea, you've had this inspiration, and now you're having a conversation with a friend 2 weeks later, and this thing sort of comes up again, and you're like, oh, I was just thinking about that. I was just writing about that in my journal 2 weeks ago about how this is something I want to pursue. You know, someone can look at that and say, okay, that's the thing you're responding to, because that's now a confirmation externally of the idea, the inspiration that you're having. Personally, you know, this has been part of my experiment because I do have a very active and strong connection with my guides, with my higher self, you know, with the angelic realm and everything, where I do often feel like I get a lot of guidance and I get a lot of downloads and inspiration that comes through from them. And in those moments, if I feel inspired by something and I have the energy and this my sacral lights up for it, I usually will take action on it. And I have not found yet that it doesn't work out. Because that's the thing is with manifesting generators and generators, if you are initiating without responding, what that looks like is, for example, say you're looking to change careers and you actively go out and start submitting your resume or your CV to a bunch of different companies and you're actively pursuing maybe a specific opportunity, if you get that job offer and you accept it, right? And maybe your sacral sort of feels a little lit up by it, but maybe you're just not really listening to it and you accept that job offer, what you might experience is that that job might feel okay for a little while, but then it's probably not going to really end well in some way, right? It might end up becoming something that you weren't expecting, or it was very different than what was, you know, portrayed to you or whatever. And so we find that when we are responding, right, someone's reaching out to us with, say, an opportunity, our sacral gets the opportunity to respond yes or no. If it's saying yes, then that's aligned for us. And then that opportunity will actually flourish. And it'll be something that's going to get us to another level, right? It's going to actually be additive to our journey. Now, I wanted to circle back real quick, though, to what we were talking about before about how the manifesting generator skips steps. And this goes to my point around the fear of making mistakes. Because sometimes those mistakes are just because we skipped, right? Manifesting generators might have just skipped a few steps. And that doesn't mean that it's not the right thing. We don't just quit and give up. The point is, you might have to just go back and retrace a couple of steps, which is fine. Because once you do that, you're going to fly through the rest of them because you've already gone through and gotten to the other side already, right? So we call this in quantum human design, we call manifesting generators time benders, as opposed to the generator that has more of that methodical stair-step learning curve. And their experience will be very different, right? When they get up that stair step and they're on the plateau, they might experience boredom, to which you were speaking before. And that boredom could mean potentially that they need to quit what they're doing. But the only way to know if that is true or not is to sit in that void and wait to see what else shows up. It's not to go out and initiate and find something else, or to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, right? And over-efforting. It's to wait and see what else maybe wants to show up. Or it could be that in that boredom, momentum is building behind you and it's about to launch you up to the next stair step. Okay, so it's almost like this drive to mastery, like just keep going. I know it feels boring, just keep going, but it might be catapulting you into something else, whether that's a new opportunity or to the next level in whatever it is that you're doing. So I think that that's an important thing to kind of touch on.
Yes, absolutely. And when we talk about the, you know, the skipping of the spaces, for me, human design has, you know, again, just created this roadmap. And I've really learned a lot through my business and being an entrepreneur with human design. Because before, what I used to do is learn from a business coach and then jump on all of these steps, and they didn't work. and then I would blame the tactics or the techniques, or, you know, and they were good. These were good mentors, you know. So it wasn't the techniques or the tools. It was that I wasn't waiting for the invitation, and I wasn't really tuned into my body. So again, this was before embodiment for me. Because now what I do when I have, you know, information that comes in, just as you were saying, whether it's, you know, inspiration, or, you know, perhaps, you know, somebody says something to me that I'm like, ooh, that sounds intriguing, right? Or this is a technique or a suggestion, you know, for your business or for whatever, then I call it swirling. I let it just swirl in my space, right? And I become very playful and like, I don't know, is that what wants to happen? You know, and I feel into my body and like, what does my body feel? Is that a yes or no in my body? And I just contemplate it and I allow it in my space for as long as it wants to be in my space. Sometimes that's very quick. I'll get an answer right away and I'm done. And other times it's like, oh, that feels like a yes, but maybe I don't have clarity on exactly how it wants to come forth or how it wants to be created. So I let it swirl some more and I just keep inviting. Okay, just show me if and how this wants to be created. And then just as you were saying, it will come through. It comes through the universe usually comes through more than once. And it's that valid. Okay, there it is. Oh, there it is again. And then I always check in with my body again. Okay, so that, oh yeah. Oh, I really feel the power building now. Yes, yes, yes. I can feel. Okay. And then it's like, oh my God, I always call it a wave. When I get to that point of certainty and this alignment that happens, this wave just picks me up and all of that energy comes streaming through with this clarity and alignment. And it's just bam, so powerful and so intentional and so from my heart, you know, whereas before I was absolutely in that force, like, okay, I'm told I got to do this. Let me push, because I can push really hard. Let me just bulldoze
with all that
my
energy first.
Yeah, like I could just use all, I could just bulldoze my way. Oh, that didn't work. Just like you said, that didn't work, or what it was. And I learned to not force and to really be in that feminine energy of allowance and surrender. And so that was kind of the way that I learned to work with, you know, my energy flow, which you call type, and my strategy.
Yeah. Well, you're also kind of talking to, you mentioned it's like operating from a place of fear that keeps you driving forward, 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 bulldozing. Cause you're like, if this doesn't work, all I have to do is just keep trying or doing or being in a certain way in order to get this done. Right. That's fear is generated by the mind. That's coming from the mind as opposed to coming from that heart-based place. That's the body. And so it's this beautiful, you just described again, we brought us back to the beginning, right? This beautiful symbiotic relationship between the mind and the body. And it is a dance, right? It's a flow. It's bringing together the masculine with the feminine. And, you know, we can't just always be in the feminine, flowing, flowing, flowing all the time. We also have to have, you know, a healthy connection to the masculine as well, because otherwise things don't get done. So as you said, it's like, you know, human design, it's like it does help us to allow the inspiration and the ideas to come in, the intuition, you know, to listen to it, to strengthen that muscle. But then it's also like, okay, well, now what are the steps? And the steps are not for us to sit here and maybe figure out and have all the answers to. Sometimes the steps just need to show up. Right? They need to reveal themselves. And the way they sometimes show up is through other people, you know, through other opportunities, through synchronicities, through downloads. You know, we get the downloads. Like sometimes we get the big picture, but we don't know the granular detail. And, you know, I think it also talks to the beautiful creation process when we even are with other people who bring other energies and archetypes into the, you know, the cauldron, so to say, right? To mix and blend together and figure out, okay, like we've got this big idea now, you know, let me feed off of your energy because you're going to highlight and bring connection into my human design circuitry to increase the flow between maybe some of my centers that are not connected, so to say, right? We can talk about this from an energetic level as well, because the human design chart is multi-layered and has a lot of different pieces to it. But it's beautiful when you can kind of see what the connection is even with others in your life and how it helps to create something different energetically.
Yes. I see it, you know, when human design dropped into my space, it was exactly at that point where when I was shown human design, I could see how much of the shadow aspects I was in. And then it gave me the exact tools. Really all I studied of human design was type, strategy, and authority. And that shifted me out of that space. And at the same time, I was also studying embodiment. So it was the perfect combination. And of course, you know, my higher self brought me human design and brought me all of that information so wonderfully. And I'm seeing even more through our conversation how perfect that was for me in the moment and how much it really did help me move from the shadow aspect of my intellect into a very powerful gift of my intellect. And again, as we've been speaking so wonderfully to, in harmony with in equilibrium with my intuition. So now the creative process to me is so glorious and so delicious. Whereas before it was kind of stressful, right? Because it was like, I got to figure this out. I got to get this done. I got to accomplish this, right? And now it's like, I don't know. We're just having fun. We're just going to play in the energies and it's all going to be revealed to me. And I just get to allow it to be revealed to me and take action in accordance to, I'm a sacral emotional authority, take action there and just follow all of the guidance and information that is given to me. So it's been absolutely transformational for me. I want to bring something in because I have looked into this quite a bit and there's still a little bit of like, I don't fully understand and I think it's common. Talk to me about the strategy of projectors.
Yes. So first of all, I have to just say I love projectors. I have a lot of good friends that are projectors and they're just incredible. So projectors are here to wait for the invitation, but there's another piece to that. So it's either wait for the invitation or wait for the recognition. And the reason why is because let me just explain what a projector is so people understand so they can get a better, you know, picture of what this means. Projectors are here to guide the rest of us and the world into our fullest potential because they get to see the possibilities and the potential of the projects they're involved in, the world around them, the relationships that they're in, the people that they're around and surrounded with. And they can see all of this potential and they know how to guide all of us into expressing that. Okay. Now, the thing is with all of that wisdom that they hold, they have to be careful with how they share it. Okay. And that's why we talk about waiting for the invitation or waiting for the recognition, because their wisdom is so precious, that if they share it with the wrong people or at the wrong time, it's not going to have the impact it is meant to have. So that's why we say they have to wait for the invitation, right? So that means like waiting for someone to ask you, well, what do you think about X, Y, and Z. And then the projector can say, well, I see that if we did this, this, and this, that then we can get to this. And that's the vision that I have. And you're like, oh my God. Like, usually when projectors speak and they share and it's the right time and it's the right people, like you will have these moments where you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't see it that way, but now I do. And you are absolutely right. Like, how did I, you know, it's so beautiful. Or they have to wait for the recognition. Right? That recognition of, hey, I know you know a lot about this. Would you mind sharing with me what you know? Because I feel like I'm at this point where I need to understand that better, right? I'm just giving a very general example. But that's the projector strategy, right? Waiting for the invitation. The other thing is that with projectors, because they likely have been conditioned as a generator type, right? To do, 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 they tend to generally burn out because they don't have access to that reliable, consistent life force energy. So they're not meant to respond to every invitation that comes their way, right? So they sometimes will feel like, well, I feel like nobody ever listens to me. Nobody ever hears me. I don't feel seen. I don't feel understood. Because what happens is they've been sharing their projector wisdom without waiting for the right people, the right timing, for the invitation, for the recognition. And so they start to question whether or not they're valuable, right? Because if we think about it, if you're someone who doesn't feel seen or heard for who you are, because maybe when you are sharing, it's getting perceived as judgment or criticism, right? Or in some negative light, you're going to shut that down. And you're going to start to feel like, well, I have nothing valuable to say because no one ever listens to me anyway. So I'm just not going to talk anymore, right? I'm not going to use my voice anymore. I'm not going to be connected to my power. I'm going to disconnect from that. So for projectors, it's super important that they do a lot of work, you know, not do a lot of work, but like that they heal any kind of wounds around their self-worth because they are worth. I mean, we're all worthy and valuable. But I do find that a lot of projectors oftentimes can have very wounded self-worth. And so it's important. It's very important. So I feel like I have to say that because I want the projectors in the room that are listening to this conversation to know that they are valuable. They are worthy. What they have to say is so important and so needed. Just make sure that you're doing it in accordance to your strategy with the right people at the right time.
Yes, I love having projectors on my team. They are amazing, amazing people. And projectors as my friends. I want to be surrounded by them, honestly. And I have a lot of projector clients, and we've worked through these different aspects of the projector. And so I appreciate you bringing that clarity. And I've seen that a lot in my clients of not feeling seen and heard. And so I stumbled through it with them with human design and helping them to understand what you just said. And just as you so wonderfully put, it's also about healing that in themselves. You know, I always say, hear and see yourself and validate yourself and know that that's the most important relationship ever. And the more you hear and see yourself, then the rest of it just gets to be cherry on top, and there'll be that spaciousness for that to occur in a really organic way than the need of it to happen because the wounding is there, right? And you want so deeply that validation because you've been wounded in the past. And I think it's such a powerful, powerful journey when projectors see that and they move through that energy. Wow, it's amazing. All of my clients, they went from like not being seen and heard to all of a sudden, everybody's like asking for their advice, asking for their guidance. Like, it was really incredible to watch. And so I wanted the two of us together to bring that forward, but specifically you, Krista, to bring your wisdom forward for the projectors in the world, because we do love you, projectors, and we're so grateful that that you're here. So yes, yes, yes. Krista, tell us a little bit about how people can find you and anything that you want to share with the audience.
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Carissa Stepp. My website is also carissastepp.com. I'm pretty easy to find as long as you know how to spell my name. and I do, you know, human design readings. I do coaching and, you know, in conjunction with human design, but I'm also a somatic coach, and I do work with women one-on-one who have been in unhealthy and toxic relationships. And a lot of times women, you know, will have done therapy, right? They've done the top-down approach of talking things out, getting the validation. But what we don't always understand is that the body actually holds the trauma, right? So the way to sort of heal fully from all of that is by coming from a bottom-up approach of working through the body somatically to help release that trauma so that we're not being held back, so that we can live out our fullest and greatest potential. So I do blend human design into that work as well, because a lot of times women, after being in an unhealthy relationship, will have really lost themselves, right? They will have lost their sense of self. They have forgotten, you know, their brilliance and their gifts and their talents and their purpose. And we need that, right? We need you to share your gifts with the world, because you're here to play a very specific role. And you can't do that if you're not connected to your purpose and are aware and willing to accept what your gifts are to share them with everybody. So that's another thing. And then I'm also partnering with someone where we are offering retreats for women. These are, you know, very intuitive groups of women coming together to connect with the land, to, you know, perform rituals and to celebrate and support one another in a deep healing and transformative journey, live and in person, where you're connected with like-minded women who are there to hold you and support you through the transformational process. And that is Soul Fire Retreats. And we are actually launching just this month. So we're excited. We've got our first retreat coming up in November outside of DC, and then Bali in April of 2024. So I invite you all, if you're interested, to come check it out.
Wow. Yeah. The in-person retreats are huge. We need that in-person space. We need that presence. So that's so beautiful. So absolutely beautiful. Okay, so it's time for our activation. So I always say, if you're driving a car, you might just partake partially or come back when you can really fully engage, because you don't want to be closing your eyes while you're driving. And I also always say that, you know, there's nothing that you have to feel throughout this process. Know that depending on the openness of your body and your embodiment and the health of your nervous system will depend on how much you can feel the subtle energies. Regardless, they are working. Regardless, it is working on your body and on your being. So just trust the process. Be fully present. And as you do these more and more, you will absolutely feel more and more and connect more and more into the subtle consciousness, the subtle intelligence that you are. So let's close our eyes and let's take three nice deep cleansing breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. You're releasing, you're letting go of any tension. You're relaxing your body. And you're coming more into this space, coming more into this moment, coming more into the uniqueness that is you. And go ahead and drop your awareness. And I want you to place your left hand over your womb and drop your awareness down into your pelvis. And just breathe down into your pelvis, breathing down into your yoni. Where all of this femme power is, where all of your femme, all of your shakti is, and just breathing there. We're just drawing awareness to that space. We're giving it our attention. We're giving it our love here in this moment. And now just taking your awareness to your womb. Even if you do not any longer have a physical womb, you can still take your awareness to the signature, the energetic signature of the womb. And just use your intention to put your awareness on your womb. Yes, yes, yes. This, my love, is your intuition, my love. This is your wisdom. This is the wisdom of your feminine energy. So breathing into that space as we're calling here right now. More awareness, an expansion of awareness, a deepening into the wisdom of your womb. So with each breath in, you're going to just allow yourself to sink deeper into the womb. And exhale, you're just releasing any energies that are ready to let go. On the exhale, you're relaxing more into that womb space and breathing deeper into that energy. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to bring in some sound as we are activating more and more the wisdom of your being. So hold your awareness at your womb. Use your breath to deepen into that space, calling in these frequencies now. Using your intuition, I want you to say to yourself, to give yourself permission to deepen into your womb, deepen into your wisdom. Give yourself permission. Now I'm going to continue with the sound. holding your left hand on your womb. We're going to bring our awareness up into our mind, up into that frontal cerebral cortex. And we're just holding our awareness there for just a moment. And we're calling upon any energies of inflexibility in the mind, any energies of distrust in this space, of trusting, of allowing the harmonizing, the connection, the intimacy of the mind, of the intellect, and of the intuition, of the wisdom. We're calling these energies into love, light, now. Calling these energies into awareness, love, light now. You may feel pressure in your head. You may feel a subtle headache. You may feel something else in other parts of your body. Again, anything and everything is perfect, okay? Breathing, holding, and breathing. Use your breath. Don't forget your breath, okay? Breathing into your body. We're going to start to release these energies out through the breath, releasing them out through the breath, releasing them out into source love completely and fully now. Nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, let it out. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Yes, yes, yes. Let that out, my love. Let out that programming, that you can't trust your intuition. Let out that pain of not trusting your own innate wisdom. Let that out. Let that out. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. As we remember here in this space that we honor your intellect is received here and is honored, as is your wisdom and your intuition. And now I want you to imagine these two spheres, your womb and the sphere of your womb and the sphere of your intellect coming together to touch, coming together to merge, as we're going to bring in the energy of equilibrium within this space. Focus on those two spheres coming in and connecting. You can see it in your mind's eye. You can simply intend for it to happen. Yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to bring in some more sound as we call in this equilibrium, calling in the honoring of the individual aspects of self coming into harmony, coming into equilibrium for the emergence of the genius within. Going to breathe in some beautiful golden light on each inhalation. This golden light is coming down through your crown, all the way through your body, down to your womb and out your root. Each inhalation, drawing it through, exhaling it, letting it out through your root. Drawing it down, exhaling it out. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. As a direct alignment is happening through your chakras, through your prana tube, and with your light body now. Beautiful. Excellent. And now just soften into your body. Soften your breath. Knowing that everything that occurred today has so indeed happened and been experienced by your bodies, by all of your being. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is, by the power of three, the divine trinity. It is complete, a whole. And open your eyes. Carissa, my love, thank you so much for coming on here today and I'm so glad that you mentioned the other work that you do, because we are so multifaceted, and I just want to honor you in the somatic work that you do for women and in helping women to heal after trauma. It's such an important part, and it's always so deeply nourishing to be held in that container of healing by another woman. It's so deeply nourishing to our being. So thank you, my love, for your wisdom, and thank you for your light, and absolutely thank you for being here today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yay! Thank you so much, listeners, for another excellent episode. And go check out Human Design. Absolutely check out Chris's website, and be sure to share this intelligence. Like, we need to share this intelligence with the world. Share this episode so people can start to connect. And even if you have that friend or that somebody that you think is really hardcore intellect, these are the kinds of conversations that start to really kind of loosen that grip. And when they feel safe that they can hold, they can still have intellect, they can open up to the possibility of their intuition and their inner guidance. So share this episode with those individuals and share it with anybody that you feel called. Be sure to subscribe, and I will see you guys next time on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.